How you doing today? Welcome back to the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. Thank you for all your support as always. Really love the comments. Hit that like button. Encourage more people to subscribe. It just helps me stay fired up and focused. Well, I don't know if I'm focused, but you know what I'm saying. Fired up. Before we get started on today's topic, which is going to be about the new hitting coach of the St. Louis Cardinals, Brant Brown did some research on him, made some calls, found out some stuff that I find really interesting. I'll get to that in a minute. But of course, there's a new hat to introduce to you. I really like this one a lot. In 1927, after the 1927 season, the two most famous Yankees of them all barnstormed the country, playing baseball games against each other. Lou Gehrig had a team and Babe Ruth had a team. It was Babe's Busters. And Lou Gehrig's team, LL, was called the Larrapin Lous, because that was his nickname, Larrapin Lou, which means to thrash, thrash pitches, give pitches a beat down, smack them around, you know. So this was the Larrapin Lous. And they went all over the place, you know, in the United States where there's like no baseball, no organized baseball, but tremendous amount of fans who were Yankees fans, you know, who followed them on the radio or followed them however. So I love that idea of those two riding trains going all over the country with their teammates and other dignitaries from baseball who were offered jobs to go barnstorming with Babe Ruth and Larrapin Lou Gehrig. So I like this one a lot. It's just kind of fun. All right. You know, can I just start with a premise that I think we all would agree with? Probably the easiest thing to do if we're all looking to blame somebody when a baseball team's underperforming offensively. Well, we don't go right to the manager and point at him. Of course, unless it's the type of player that everybody likes to pick on. We don't immediately rush in and say it's the players. This is all on the players. No, and I'm talking about this being true all over the country in Major League Baseball. It's like the first place we look is, you know, we want to sack the hitting coach. It's always his fault, right? And this isn't just in St. Louis, although I think it is a really, really interesting obsession here, but it's an obsession everywhere else too, because I was looking at this. I'm not going to, I don't have the entire history, but a couple of off seasons ago, there were like 17 new hitting coaches, which means 13 hitting coaches were fired. And I know going into the 2023 season, there were 10 or 11 new hitting coaches, and 2024 it was about the same. And there's a big turnover again this off season. I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers fired their two hitting coaches. The Atlanta Braves fired Kevin Seitzer, who had been their hitting coach for 10 seasons. I was reading the thing, The Athletic, where, you know, they were talking to him about the volatility of the hitting coach position and why there's so much pressure and why they get so much blame. And Seitzer said, and remember this because it ties into what happened to Seitzer. Seitzer said, he said kind of an understated way intentionally, you know, he said, I've always thought the key to being a good hitting coach is to have good hitters. And what happened this year with the Braves? Their offense went down, down, down. Well, they didn't have Ronald Acuna. They had Matt Olson had a down season. You can't blame that on Seitzer because Seitzer was his hitting coach when he was having a monster season in 2023. They had some other injuries as well. I mean, the Braves were really beat up. So Kevin Seitzer became the fall guy. And it's funny because the year before, Baseball America named Kevin Seitzer the professional baseball coach, batting coach of the year. Like, and this applies to like everything, not just the major leagues. He's the best. He's the best in his field. Salute to you, Kevin. You're excellent. That's why the Braves have had you for 10 years They're happy with you. They don't bring in a new hitting coach every couple of years. And he got fired because I guess it was his fault that players got hurt. Of course, it's the hitting coach's fault. So this is a constant change, man, constant change. And the other thing about hitting coach I want to say before we talk about Brant Brown, because I find this really, really interesting, and I got some info to share with you, is that, you know, and let me find my notes as always. You know, if you look around, like I know in the comment section under the video yesterday, one of the very first things that at least I saw, I don't know if it was one of the first comments, but it was one of the first things I saw, were a couple of people taking shots at Brant Brown. And they're saying, oh, look at him. Look at him in the major leagues. What did he do? You know, he struck out 30% of the time. Oh, yeah, that's just what you need to fix Nolan Gorman. Well, if only it were that simple, right? First of all, there is absolutely no correlation between how a baseball player performed as a major league hitter and his value as a hitting coach. This is all about knowing what to do, understanding what you need to do, identifying where you're weak. How do you try to solve it? How do you study pitchers? Do you have good habits? Do you work hard enough? A lot goes into this. Some of the greatest hitting coaches of all time were lousy hitters, but they understood what was required and what would help you to become a much better hitter or a good hitter. They just weren't able to do it themselves as players, but it doesn't mean they don't know hitting. And I swear, I think I've been given this little speech for like 20 years. It one doesn't have anything to do with another, right? In fact, and I'm gonna get to Brant Brown and how I think it can actually be a help for the Cardinals, the fact that he struck out so much during his five seasons. You know why? I'll jump to it real quick here. If anyone understands what Nolan Gorman's going through, it's Brant Brown. Let's go over this stuff here. You know, Brant Brown, the new Cardinals hitting coach, he was a left-handed. All right, I'm just going to give you a profile without, you know, mentioning his name. I should have done it like kind of the mystery way. Brant Brown was a third-round draft pick, so he's drafted pretty high. And, you know, not first round, but third round. And he's a big left-handed hitter with real good power, but he struck out a lot. I don't know. Does that ring a bell? Does that sound familiar to us? I think it kind of sounds familiar to us. And if you look at Brant Brown, you know, he really had some success briefly in the major leagues. Like his career slugging percentage is .445. He hit a home run every 22 at-bats, which is not fantastic, but it's good. In 1998 and 99, over those two seasons, he slugged .475, which is good. But in about 680 at-bats, he had 30 home runs, drove in 106 runs. But also in 98, let me just jump to this. But in his final two big league seasons, his strikeout rate was 32%. And the power started to slip in that second season. And in 2000, his final season in the big leagues, his strikeout rate was a Nolan Gorman-esque 35%. And he hit .173. And his slugging percentage really died. Once again, does that sound familiar? I mean, it's the exact same profile as Nolan Gorman. So the silly thing to say is like, well, he couldn't do it. So what is he going to teach Gorman? He was just as bad as Gorman with the strikeout. So what's Gorman going to learn from this guy? Well, this guy has spent a long time, Brant Brown, a long time. He's now 53 years old, studying hitting and studying pitchers. And more than if he had a philosophy, a big part of his philosophy is like, don't worry about the pitchers. Study yourself, be aware of what your weaknesses are and work on them. And it's something you have to work on every single day. And if you have a bad day and you're swinging at everything, you got to get back on the horse. And Brant Brown has had, in other words, like Brant Brown knows about failure. He knows about, hey, man, oh, this guy, Cubs drafted him. You know, it's like, wow, he's got some mad power. But then the strikeouts started to happen and a lot and a lot and a lot. In fact, just to underscore the point, in the 1999-2000 seasons combined, Brant Brown had the worst strikeout rate in the major leagues. Now, some people will say, well, that should disqualify him from being a hitting coach. No, it doesn't. No, it should. You know who one of the great hitting coaches was of all time before you became to know, you got to know him as a manager? You're one of the greatest hitting coaches of all time. Charlie Manuel, you know, who, of course, the manager of the Phillies got to the World Series, won the World Series. He was a great hitting coach, just great. You know what his OPS was in the major leagues? 534. That stinks. It's awful. You know what his slugging percentage was as a hitter in major leagues? A 260 slugging percentage. That's like Pete Cosma had more power in the major leagues than that. So I'm sure he was, well, what are the Cleveland Indians? That's what they were called. You know, why do they have this guy as a hitting coach? Because he understands hitting really, really well. But it's just that he wasn't athletically gifted enough to do it himself, but he understood what goes into success as a hitter and like what you need to do to make yourself better and what you need to work on and just opening up your mind to things. But he wasn't gifted enough to do it himself in terms of standing in the batter's box. So let's just make the disconnect there, shall we? Charlie Lau, a guy that when I was in Baltimore, you know, everyone talked about what a great hitting coach he was and this and that, and the other Orioles went to him for advice. And I'm like, well, he's a third-string catcher, Dad. Well, he's hitting once, like, he's about a 180 hitter. Why is he a big, great hitting coach? He was. Ask George Brett about that, right? I mean, George Brett probably didn't need a lot of help, but he always cites Charlie Lau as someone made just a tremendous difference in shaping a hitting approach and shaping hitting intellect. And Charlie Lau, he hit 200 or less nine times, nine seasons. But this was a guy, this was a guy that would just, everyone in baseball said, well, this guy is just, he's a guru. There's nobody better. He's a 200 hitter. Doesn't matter. It's how you teach. Walter Hriniak, a longtime hitting coach, mostly for the Red Sox, also for the White Sox. Peter Gammons always used to write about him. Everyone used to talk about it. Walt Hriniak's the best. There's no question right now he's the best. He played a little bit of two seasons, and in his final season in the majors, he hit 219. That was 1969. One of the great hitting coaches in the history of the game. He hit 219 in his final major league season. Another guy highly regarded, a little more modern, Rudy Jaramillo, and I always mispronounce that, and I apologize. He never even played in the major leagues. He wasn't good enough to be in the major leagues, but he was a renowned hitting coach for a long, long time. If you look at Kevin Long, who might be considered the best one now, he hit for a pretty good average in the major leagues, about 273, I think, but he really didn't have any power. There was nothing really, there wasn't one quality that really stood out, but he's considered to be an excellent hitting coach. He still is. Some other guys too, like Rick Downs. So get that out of your head that Brant Brown struck out a lot. And it did end his career sooner than it should have, because the strikeout issue got worse and worse and worse. Struck out more than anybody over two season period, his final 2 years. That says it all right there. Well, who better to understand Nolan Gorman? Because he was Nolan Gorman, right? I'm sorry, I'm hollering. That probably comes through if you're listening earbuds, like, oh, sorry. I'd like to get fired up. Brant Brown was Nolan Gorman. Same exact problem. So much power, so much natural ability. You get, you know, managers and coaches and scouts excited. Wow. Wow, does this guy have some power? And, you know, Brant Brown lived through that same experience as Nolan Gorman is going through now. You think Nolan Gorman's going to be able to relate to him? You think? I think, yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be the cure, but I like the guy who has endured, the guy who's now going to be Nolan Gorman's hitting coach is the guy that endured the same exact struggles during his career that Gorman is going through now. So I find it really interesting that this is the choice of the hitting coach. And the more I find out about him, the more I like. I really don't care that Seattle fired him because they don't know what they're doing. All I know is the Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the smartest organizations in Major League Baseball, they had Brant Brown as part of their operation for five seasons, including at the Major League level for three of those seasons as a hitting coach or assistant hitting coach. He was right in the middle of all of that. And I know that when Skip Schumacher hired him to be the hitting coach in 2023, that was Skip's first season. That's the year they surprised everyone by making the playoffs. And Skip was a manager of the year. And Skip Schumacher thinks the world of Brant Brown. And he strongly recommended him to the Cardinals. Said, no, this guy's good. He can take all the analytic stuff and he breaks it down in really simple terms. He also understands every hitter is different. There's certain ways to teach it. One guy that you wouldn't teach it to another guy, but he's very fluent in analytics. And I know that's a dirty word. I know that's a word that should be banned because it's the worst thing that's ever happened in any kind of sport in the history of the world. I get it. There I go again, being a jerk. The analytics are great. The analytics are helpful. They are very, very helpful. But you got to be able to teach them. You got to be able to teach them in a way that's translatable and that hitters, and shall we say, maybe the less inclined hitters, less inclined in terms of wanting to go to school on analytics. They want someone to explain it to them. And by the way, coach, keep it simple. Everything I've read about him tells me that he, what he's able to do. And I know this is a little boring to kind of just read quotes to you, but it's all I got. Even if I had the audio and I don't, or I had the video and I don't, but I'm not good at putting that stuff up. I'd have to read them anyway, because there's no audio or video of this stuff. Let me go through some of the things that he was talking about. Like, and then, by the way, when Skip Schumacher, let me just give you this too, because I got a lot of stuff here. The Marlins in 2023, his year as the hitting coach, they were not a great offense. But again, that's kind of missing the point. They were a much improved offense. They, from 2022, when he wasn't there, and then 2023 when he came in. And that's also, in fairness, they got Luis Urrea from the Twins before the 2023 season. But that's only one player. It was largely the same cast of players in both years. So from 2022 to Brant Brown's only year in Miami, you know, if you look at the strikeout rate went down. The isolated power number was up 13 points. The batting average improved 29 points. The on-base percentage was up 22 points. The slugging percentage went up 42 points. The OPS went up 63 points. They had better numbers in exit velocity, hard hit rate, barrel rate. Across the board, they got better. They improved by about 10% if you use one of the fancy pants metrics. So all he could do is make guys better. And he did. Even if it meant still the end result was that they were down in the 20s in the rankings as far as runs per game. But you don't blame the batting coach. When he takes over a group of players, a lot of the players were the same in both years, and you see that kind of improvement from one year to the next, he's done his job. If you don't have enough good hitters, there's only so much you can do. And it's not always the cool thing to do. It's kind of the dumb thing to do is automatically blame the hitting coach, like right away, first thing. I've been guilty of that, so I'm not calling you any names that I don't apply to myself, okay? But the key here is, listen, he is, like I said, he's really well-versed in analytics, and he's really, really good at it, understanding it and breaking it down. And I know he has said, like, analytics would have helped me when I was a player, when I was a hitter, because I'd like to think that I got good aptitude for this, that stuff. Even if I can't, I'm having problems executing things at the plate. That's on me. But I think this information would have helped me. So here's a couple things he said along those lines. And I think, I think this is really, this is really good stuff. He said, we, the coaches, use the information, but then we dumb it down into pictures and words. I kind of like, I have this image of him with like a coloring book or something. No, it's just a joke. But he told the Miami Herald this, well, you know, we use the information, but then we dumb it down into pictures and words. You take the machine and then you put in it, and then you come out and you say, as you would talk to a human, what the machine tells you, but then you got to translate it and talk to an actual human being, right? You got to eliminate all the gobbledygook. And he said, the thing that was interesting about that, you know, he wasn't exaggerating about that, like using pictures and words. He actually had t-shirts made up of the strike zone box, and every player would wear them, and the Marlins loved to wear them. It was because it was just a reminder, the strike zone box. And he showed all, you know, it had all the pitches that went for strikes. Maybe some of those were pitches they didn't swing at, but he came up with the thing, and the players got a kick out of it. And he said, you know, you use videos, you use simplistic pictures, you talk through stuff, you just transform the information. And so he really, they did use a lot of color-coded charts and a lot of other things that are pretty simplistic, but that's how they got the message through, rather than speaking a foreign language, which analytics can be. We just say, well, your WOBA is, it's like, what? You know, you got to dumb it down. And he's a guy that has been able to do that. That is a plus, my friends. Because I don't know if the Cardinals are a real smart group when it comes to hitting. Okay. I said that a lot this past season, so this ain't the first time I've said it. What do I harp about all the time? Why do they look at so many called strikes? Why, with runners in scoring position, are they always looking at called strikes? It just defies common sense, right? It defies common sense. And he says, for example, we want our hitters to study pitchers, but before you even get to that, you need to understand and know your own weaknesses. These are quotes. Before you can exploit your enemy's weakness, you have to know your own. Self-awareness. Also understanding it's a process. There's going to be days, it might even be a week, where you don't think you'll ever get a hit again. You stick with the process. Some of the other things, too, and let me find this all. He said, when he went to Los Angeles, it opened up a whole new world because the Dodgers have state-of-the-art everything, which the Cardinals do not. I'm talking about all the tools you need to give hitters the information that can make them better. The Cardinals really fell behind in that area. One of the reasons, frankly, is not to pile on Turner Ward, but Turner Ward's old school. He didn't care about the stuff. And it actually just frustrates the dickens out of me. You know, you don't let players hire their friends. Okay, you need a hitting coach that's going to be good for everybody. And Turner Ward was good at what he did, but what the Cardinals needed done, someone who could take the information of analytics and give it to the players in a way they can put it to good use. It really is that simple. So, but if you think that Brant Brown is going to drown the hitters and overwhelm them with all these numbers and all these, this jargon and all these charts and just like throwing spreadsheets at them. No, let me read you these quotes talking about his 5 years with the Dodgers. In Los Angeles, you had the means to have a lot of different measuring instruments, and there's a lot of things at your disposal. And a lot of those things could really help you. But then you try to say, okay, that's too many things. That's a direct quote. In other words, he sees all the stuff they have available, but he just said, you know, you can go overboard with this stuff. Okay, there's too many things, period. That's too many things. So he said, we had to decide what we were going to isolate on, and usually it went from hitter to hitter, depending on the individual hitter. At the same time, you get to learn about all these different things, whether you use them or don't use them. We add them to the list, or we scratch them from the list. But the players know that the information is there. Brant Brown continued. He said, talking about his Dodgers experience, you didn't realize that when you were there, and then you come here, and you're like, whoa, okay, I learned a lot here. But how do I take this information as a coach and filter it down enough to where there's just simple three big things and we keep it simple? We all know that it's hard. It's not really that simple. You build the layer. You build the cement. And then if you want to add things later on the foundation, you add things later. This is important because you've got to be able to communicate during games. Because hitters should be able to adjust from at bat to at bat. Okay. It doesn't have to wait. It doesn't have to wait to a film study session the next day. This is Brant Brown again. Quote, that's one of the most important things for me is when we're in the dugout, when we're in the thick of it, and we need you to execute. I am going to be talking to that hitter. So understanding how they like information, though. I need to know how they like the information presented. What is easy? What do you like? We've been going through it with all of our guys. I like this. He said, quote, in a sentence with 8 seconds, how do I say it so you're clear and you know what to do and you're going to execute? He's not going to overwhelm these guys with all kinds of, like, you know, what's the word? Convoluted stuff where, you know, you need to have some, you need to be an MIT graduate to understand the numerical formula. No, he's not that guy. You don't have to be afraid of him. He's not that guy. And when John Mozeliak said yesterday in the conference call, he said that basically, I'm paraphrasing just to simplify it. He said that basically Brant Brown is, you had Jeff Albert over here and you have Turner Ward over there. Maybe Jeff Albert got a little, like, too much information overload. Maybe that was one of his problems. And then Turner Ward, not interested in analytics. So he said, Brant Brown's right in the middle there. And that's what we want, because there is value in both things. You can't just say, I don't like these analytics, you know, and just rule it out as something that can help your guys. That's irresponsible, not to mention stupid. But if you've got piles and piles and reams of data, and you don't know how to simplify and break it down in a way it's easy to understand, well, you might as well, I mentioned earlier, a foreign language. You might as well be speaking a foreign language that they don't understand. And I think this is what Brant Brown has come to know. And if you want to hold it against him because the Seattle Mariners fired him, you know why? Because the manager was in hot water and their offense was really bad early in the season. And so the manager was starting to feel the heat. And so guess who got thrown under the train? It was Brant Brown. And guess who got fired later in the season? That would be the manager. But some people that are going to look just for the negatives will say, oh boy, that's smart. You just hired a guy that the Mariners fired because he couldn't get their offense going. There were a lot of other factors at play there. My hope is that the young hitters will just really take to Brant Brown because he's going to give them stuff, but he's not going to get their heads spinning because they don't understand it. He's going to put it in a way that they can relate to and that they get it. And with all these young hitters, the Cardinals are going to be giving a ton of at-bats to in 2025. And some that are on the way, like Sejacy, J.J. Weatherholt, ain't going to be long for him in the minor leagues. Chase Davis. I mean, some other guys. There's guys down below that got real potential that are going to be here sooner rather than later. Young hitters crave this stuff. It's the cranky veterans that get an attitude about it. I know what I'm doing. Oh, is that right? Is that right? Is that why a couple of the guys that sort of, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm just going to work on it in the cage. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Thanks. Is that why the two of you, you know, the first baseman and third base, is that why you had your, basically your career worst seasons? You don't need all that fancy pants stuff. Now I got this. I know what I'm doing. Thank you. Thank you, though. Young guys want knowledge. They want information. They want to know what they're doing wrong, what they do to fix it, and what information and guidance is going to be available to them to do just that, to fix it. I think Brant Brown, in that regard, and as someone who knows what it's like to be really bad at the plate, that makes him relatable. And I think of Brant Brown, at least in terms of his ability to communicate and give guys help without trying to show he's the smartest guy who ever existed in a major league dugout, because he's going to break it down simply. I think that's a really valuable guy to add. What I'm saying is I'm keeping an open mind, but I wanted to find out a lot about him, which I did. And so what I've been able to learn, and after reading about his philosophy and how it would apply to the 2025 Cardinals and their young hitters in particular, it seems to me that it's a good fit. It seems to me that it's a good match. But I'm keeping an open mind because I ain't sitting here and telling you, oh, he's going to be great. Their offense is going to take off. I don't know. I don't know that. But what I didn't do, which some people already are doing, is even before the guy actually puts on a Cardinals cap, they're dismissing him as a terrible hire, just a brutal hire. Isn't it okay to let it breathe a while? I'm not rushing out and saying, well, this will be a great hitting coach for the Cardinals. I'm not saying that. I got an open mind and I found some things that I like. And if those things can be carried over here and the things that Skip Schumacher loves about him can be carried over to the 2025 Cardinals, there's a chance they'll get better offensively. But yeah, it also comes down to the hitters. And they've got to be able to execute with the information that they've been given. I got an open mind. Please join me. We don't have to make a decision. This isn't a jury. There hasn't even been a trial yet. We don't have to. You don't have to declare, you have to state your verdict. You don't have to say we have a verdict. Well, wait a minute. They just hired him 10 seconds ago. We have a verdict. If you think about that, how stupid is that, right? And the verdict could be a good one or negative. But you hire a guy, you don't even know who he is. And like 5 minutes later, oh, that's a terrible fire. It's terrible. Or maybe someone else, oh gosh, the Cardinals just got the best hitting coach there is. Both of those instant reaction views are moronic, okay? Keep an open mind. I like some of the stuff that I found out. We'll see how it plays out, though. I'll be back later in the day. You all have a great day. Until then, thank you so much for your support. Thanks for watching The Bernie Show here on YouTube.